This is Grant Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Texas Congressman Mike Conaway, a Republican representing the Lone Star State's 11th Congressional District. We wanted to get his insights on to where we stand in terms of a health care reform bill now that all five major committees, three in the House, two in the Senate, have approved their versions of the legislation. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, it's good to be with you today. Thank you for having me on.
Well, we know that three different committees in the House have worked on this, and they're all different. So what does the process look like from here on the House side?
Well, there will be a manager's amendment or a new bill that would put together to try to reconcile those three. That work, I suspect, nobody knows for sure, but I suspect it's going on in the Speaker's office, hopefully with consultation with leadership, both Republican and Democrat leadership, on all three committees. If the processes to date are an indication of how that's going, the Republicans will not be a part of those conversations as to how to reconcile those three bills. But ultimately, the bill will have to come to the floor in some format to include the three bills that went through the three different committees, and that process is being carried on, as far as we can tell, right now behind closed doors.
Congressman, you referred to it in your answer right there, and the president has mentioned in the past, as well as certain Democrats, that yes, Democrats control the process, but if Republicans have good ideas, bring them forward, and they'll be considered. Has that really happened?
Only in the rhetoric it says that, and it's proof's in the pudding. We had hundreds of amendments that were offered in those three committees. Only a handful of them adopted. And while they do this further negotiations for the new bill that they will bring together, you would hope that we would be there. But at this stage, proof's in the pudding. I grew up in West Texas and represent West Texas, and talk's cheap there. And the actions, obviously, speak. I'm a wealth of cliches this morning, but actions speak louder than words. And so far, we've been cut out of the process.
Congressman, we know from Nancy Pelosi that she will work as hard as possible to make sure there's a public option in the legislation that ends up on the House floor. Is that pretty much where Republicans are drawing the line? Do you sense that your conference is pretty much unanimous in opposing any piece of legislation that includes the public option?
Well, I think the public option, certainly for me, is the death knell to any of my support. I'm not hearing any of my colleagues on the Republican side remotely support that. Yeah, we're a long way from that vote happening, but I can't imagine at this stage, given the cuts to Medicare that are being contemplated, the new taxes, the increased revenues, but the public option at its core is should be a fatal flaw for most all Republicans in the House.
In terms of the Baucus bill, that's the one out of the five that does not include the public option. It was just passed yesterday and got one Republican to go along with the rest of the Democrats on the committee. Is that bill any better for you? Is that something you could get behind if it's in its current form or changed in some way?
No, I can't. It's got massive cuts to Medicare and much more government intrusion into the process that's necessary. And don't brag too much on that one Republican. If you read her statement, it was a qualified, holding my nose, backing up kind of doing the deal. It only represents yesterday's vote. She's not committing to any kind of support for the Baucus bill or Baucus light going forward. So even though Olympia did vote for it, it was with caveats on every angle to her support. I think at the end of the day, her strongest support was, I just wanted to move the process forward, which is not a position I would take, but it's one that she took. So don't read too much into her support.
Congressman, I know there are, as you mentioned, there were hundreds of Republican-sponsored amendments, a few of which actually got added to the bills that came out of committee. I know that there are certain Republican alternatives, one from the head of the Republican Study Committee, Tom Price of Georgia. I know John Shattuck of Arizona's got one, and there may be some others out there as well as specific ideas that other members have. What do you see as the Republican alternative coming down the pike? What will you and your colleagues be focusing on as this debate continues?
Well, the debate's going to focus on not doing what what the Democrats are proposing, but in line with that, we need to have plans of our own. The water is so poisoned right now that I think any kind of a systemic, large, broad, sweeping reform is going to be not trusted by the American people. They don't trust the process up here, not having the bills available to read, all the kind of things that go on. And so I would prefer a single-shot solutions to areas in which we do agree. tort reform, which the CBO has now scored as saving about $54 billion over 10 years, dealing with pre-existing conditions. Those types of things, work-associated health plans, being able to buy insurance across state lines, those kinds of things on a single-shot, narrow basis where everybody can see the bill, can read it, can understand what we're doing, in my view, would gain trust with the American people on both sides of the issue if we were to do that, as opposed to some, you know, 1,000-page bill that makes references to other bills with thousands and thousands of pages that you'd have to wade through in order to fully understand it. I just don't think the American people is going to trust the verbiage that comes out, particularly when they see a Senate process that basically just went through and did the executive summary memo kind of thing, and the language hasn't been written. That was the bill that came out of Senate Finance yesterday. And so process is important, and narrowing it to those areas in which we agree on and which have solutions to them, as opposed to some broad, wide, sweeping plan that would address 17% of our economy in one bill is a preferable way to go at it.
One of the things we hear from the Democrats, and I know many Republicans disagree with this, is that their plans are exceedingly good for small business. And our regular listeners will know that you are a small businessman. In fact, you're in business with the former president of the United States at one point, George W. Bush. If you were still a small business owner, what impact would the general principles that most of these bills have in place have on your business?
Well, it's unsettling. I spent yesterday in Marble Falls, Texas. And small business owner after small business owner came to me and said, just the prospect of all of this sweeping change is preventing me from making decisions about expanding my business. I'm not about to hire anybody with this health care mandate that's on the horizon. I'm not about to hire anybody with the cap and trade out there, not knowing what my costs are going to be. So the federal government is contributing to the lack of jobs being created by just this uncertainty about what's going on. So these mandates would hamper business. Plenty of studies would show that jobs will be lost as a result of these. Under the House version, 114 million Americans would lose their health insurance as they currently like it, and one of the promises that the president's made. A study out this week from the insurance industry led by my former employer, PricewaterhouseCoopers, that anybody who has private insurance, those rates would go up dramatically over the next 5-10 years. So that's not something that lends itself to a job creation and confidence that the economy is going to get better and people can take their business risks that they need to take by expanding facilities and or hiring new people. So this is having a negative effect, not only from a policy standpoint, but from just the uncertainty of what might or might not happen during this time frame.
A last question for you, Congressman. One of the reasons perhaps that the Baucus bill cleared committee and still is considered viable is because it got a favorable score from the Congressional Budget Office. Others say the Congressional Budget Office had to assume that promises made in the bill were true and there's really no chance that they'll actually be kept. What do you make of the cost of the Baucus bill?
Well, it's $829 billion of costs. How that's funded is, obviously they pull $400 billion out of Medicare. Congress has never had the backbone to do that kind of cuts to Medicare. So the rationale that we would actually cut spending in Medicare to increase spending somewhere else is a bit of a figment. CBO is going to score the actual language. We had the Senator Kyle tell us this morning that might take 3 weeks for CBO to be able to score the Baucus bill once it's actually been reduced to writing. And so I'll trust that score much more than I'll trust the score of the concept page that CBO scored as a result of they brought these numbers out that show reducing the deficit by $81 billion and a cost of $829. I don't trust those numbers. You've got some question as to whether or not you've got 10 years of expenses and 10 years of revenue under that CBO scoring, and I don't think they do, and that's not a fair matching of the cost. So really, until the CBO scores the actual language that the Senate Finance Committee passed, you really can't lay much credence to that the numbers that came out this past week.
Congressman, unfortunately, our time is up. Thank you, sir, as always. Great to talk to you.
Greg, good to be with you. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Texas Congressman Mike Conaway represents his state's 11th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.